नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And today we'll be reading from text number 5. Please repeat. Yat Sangyai Prapyate Stanam Tat Yogai Api Gamyate Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Yaha Pashyati Saha Pashyati Yat Sankhyai Prapyate Stanam Tad Yoger Api Gamyate Ekang Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati Yat Sankhyai Prapyate Stanam Tad Yogir Api Gamyate Ekang Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati Yat Sankhyai Prapyate Stanam Tad Yogir Api Gamyate Ekang Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati Yat Sankhyai Prabhyate Stanam Tad Yogair Api Gamyate Ekang Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati Yat Sankhyai Prapyate Stanam Tad Yoger Api Gamyate Ekang Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati Yat Sankhyai Prabhyate Stanam Tad Yoger Api Gamyate Excuse me. Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati Please repeat. Yat What Sankhyai By means of Sankhya philosophy, by means of Sankhya philosophy, prabhyate is achieved, sthanam, place, tat, that, yogai, by devotional service, api, also, gamyate, one can attain, ekam, One, Sankhyam, analytical study, Cha, and Yogam, action in devotion, Cha, and Yaha, one who, Pashyati, sees, Saha, he, Pashyati, actually sees. translation. One who knows that the position reads by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level sees things as they are. Purport. The real purpose of philosophical research is to find the ultimate goal of life. Since the ultimate goal of life is self-realization, there is no difference between the conclusions reached by the two processes. By Sankhya philosophical research, one comes to the conclusion that a living entity is not a part and parcel of the material world, but of the supreme spirit whole. Consequently, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. His actions must be in some relation with the supreme. When he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is actually in his constitutional position. In the first process, Sankhya, one has to become detached from matter. And in the devotional yoga process, one has to attach himself to the work of Krishna consciousness. Factually, both processes are the same, although superficially, one process appears to involve detachment, and the other process appears to involve attachment. Detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna are one and the same. One who can see this sees things as they are. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Salakya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistang Stapidang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsya Sri Rupang Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vidang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutam Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyebhacha Patitanang Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam tat yogair api gamyate ekang sankhyam cha yogam cha ya pashyati sa pashyati. So I explained many times that Bhagavad Gita is also called Gita Upanishad. It's a very, in one sense, complicated book. It's not so straightforward. First of all, we discussed it the other day. You need to study the purports of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Otherwise, frankly speaking, you're never going to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's very clearly explained by Krishna himself in the fourth chapter. Evam parampara praptam imam rayasyo rishihi imam rayasyo vidu. That this knowledge was received to the parampara, to the disciplic succession, and it was received by the kings, the Raja Rishis. So this Bhagavad Gita is not, as Prabhupada used to say, for the lower class, for the ordinary class. This Bhagavad Gita is for the Raja Rishis, for the saintly kings. So you can consider yourself in very auspicious association. You know, previously saintly kings were listening to this Bhagavad Gita, and now you are in that same class. So that is also one of the reasons why we practice these principles. I don't want to say the main, but one of the first principles that we teach people is not to kill animals unnecessarily, not to eat meat, fish, and eggs. And it's basically a fact that if you eat meat, fish, or eggs, you cannot understand this knowledge. So again, Raja Rishi, you have to come to this level of the behavior of a saintly king. Otherwise, you cannot understand this Bhagavad Gita. And so this parampara, this disciplic succession, it goes all the way back to Lord Brahma. we discussed this morning. Of course, Lord Brahma is born by Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu is an expansion, ultimately, of Lord Krishna. And then Lord Brahma's son is Narada Muni, and he taught it to Vyasadeva. Now, Vyasadeva is the author of all the Vedas, also of the Bhagavad Gita. And so that line goes from Vyasadeva, then to Madhvacharya, so many acharyas, then it gets picked up by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's another appearance of Krishna. It's called also sometimes the hidden avatar. He appeared 500 years ago in Navadvip, that is near Kolkata. And yeah, he's not different from Krishna. He is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So he is Radha and Krishna combined. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Krishna Chaitanya is not different from Radha and Krishna. And yeah, he came to propagate this Sankirtan movement. And yeah, also to re-establish the Bhagavad Gita. And then after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's the six Goswamis. And then basically, if you look on the altar, then you have Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Then you have Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then Srila Gorkhisor Das Babaji Maharaj. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's guru. He's the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great judge in Puri. He worked for the British. He was a very respected gentleman. And he had a son, Bhaktisiddhanta, that is Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. And so Srila Prabhupada established this culture, spiritual culture in New York in 1965, 1966. And then from there it spread to San Francisco and Los Angeles, and then they were sent to London, and then the devotees met up with the Beatles, and then, as they say, the rest was history, because after that it really took off. They started in Amsterdam and Hamburg and Rome, and then actually it went back to India, and there yeah, was another kind of explosion of Hare Krishna, and that's how the whole movement got established. And Prabhupada trained different disciples to yeah, to become also spiritual masters, so that the so-called parampara, the disciplic succession, could continue. Of course, the main thing about this disciplic succession is the knowledge. Like Yanananda Maharaj explained, that if you chant Hare Krishna, but you think that you are Krishna, then it's not going to help you much. The idea is that when you understand this mantra through the parampara, then it explains that it means, O energy of the Lord, O Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rama, source of all pleasure, please engage me in your devotional service. And if you chant it with that knowledge, then it will have the desired effect. So, first of all, like I said, you need to understand these this Bhagavad Gita through the purports. And then generally, you also need the purports explained by devotees. Because if you just read at home, yeah, generally you won't get it. Like I said in the beginning, unless you follow these principles, like no intoxication, no eating of meat, you cannot really understand it. And yeah, as far as I'm personally concerned, I concluded that I could not really follow these principles without the association of devotees. So I, you know, once I realized that, I pretty much immediately joined the temple, and I haven't left ever since. So yeah, and then when you start to follow these principles and you get the association of devotees, especially of our leaders, like sannyasis now, Satchinandan Swami will come, and you can just feel the spiritual energy, and also the way he explains philosophy, you'll just suddenly you start to see things in a whole different perspective. Because, you know, I'm not so realized. I've been chanting for 15, 16 years. So some realization is there, but not so much. So I can only basically share, you know, my realization, which is not so big. But someone like Satchinandan Swami, who also met Srila Prabhupada, and who has been chanting for 40 years, yeah, that is another level, and you'll, you know, hopefully you'll experience that. So that is a little bit of introduction. So, yeah, it's very technical. The Lord Krishna is here explaining about Sankhya Yoga, especially in those days, was a very big thing. And actually still, because I was just studying a little bit the following purport, and there Prabhupada explains about the Mayavadi sannyasis. He says they are engaged in the study of Sankhya philosophy, where the Vaishnava sannyasis are engaged in the study of Bhagavatam philosophy. And that is called the Sariraka Bhash, that is written by Shankaracharya. That is the commentary on the Vedas, or Vedanta Sutra, as it's called here. So Sankhya basically, I mean, there is also, that is another kind of confusing part of the topic. It originally, as far as I understand, it was started by Kapila Dev. But there's two Kapilas, one atheistic and one the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, if you read that story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was teaching his mother. And his mother reached perfection. Now, what she did, she started to meditate on the different elements. And she was so, it was another age. We cannot really imagine, you know, because people, I forgot which age it was exactly, but she could get at least 1,000 years old, maybe 10,000 years old. So this is a little bit difficult to accept, maybe. But, I mean, just as a side point, you can also read in the Bible that some of the Bible fathers were 500-600 years old. So that gives some indication that in previous ages, because according to the Vedas, people would get 1,000 years old in the previous age, and the age before that 10,000. So that is kind of corroborated by the biblical text, Abraham and men like that. It's mentioned there, 600-700 years old. So it's not that far-fetched. So his mother, she started to meditate, and what happened is actually that her body melted. She just completely understood how the different elements work. It's explained shortly here in the 13th chapter, the 24 elements. I can quickly explain it to you. You have, of course, the five elements. Most people know that: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So the way I explain it usually is that, you know, usually, well, and then you have three more subtle: mind, intelligence, and false ego. So the way you should understand it is that, one important part of knowledge that I should share with you is that the understanding is that we're not this body. That's the beginning of knowledge. And you're a spirit soul. And according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the soul is situated in the heart. So if the soul leaves the heart, it's finished. Some people they fall from the stairs, one or two stairs, and they're dead. Other people, they're completely finished in a car accident, but after 6 months, 1 year, they walk again. So the factor is the soul. If the soul can stay in the body will regenerate, and if it doesn't, then the body will just wither. So, but where does the soul come from? So according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the soul comes from the spiritual world. And of course, we don't really know why we left, but the general understanding from my study is that we basically, it was due to false ego, or you could say due to offensive behavior. We wanted, Prabhupada explains, we wanted to lord it over. Wanted to lord it over other devotees, and then there's actually no room for that in the spiritual world, because everybody is trying to serve Krishna and trying to serve the other devotees. So then gradually you're being removed, and it's explained that every conditioned soul starts off with Lord Brahma. That's generally how it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the first birth you take is Lord Brahma. And then from Lord Brahma, you look at the universe, and then you see Lord Indra, and he's enjoying with so many apsaras. And then you think, oh, that's also interesting, and then you become Lord Indra. And then you go down and down and down. He's explained that you go for the whole experience. You become Lord Indra, you go all the way down to the hawk, to the insect, and then gradually you come up again. So that is basically where we are now. We're all here in the temple, so we're all coming up. So the idea is we are now encaged in this body, and it consists of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Of course, we also have a spiritual mind, but now we have a material mind. A material mind is it's conditioned. It identifies with the body, and it doesn't realize I'm a servant of Krishna. Intelligence also is polluted, and like I said, the ego, false ego, thinks I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So those things then need to be purified. So anyway, so from ether, then sound comes, and sound is related to the ear, and then you have air. Air is like it's like you can feel it. It's related to the skin. It's like touch. It's the sense of touch. And then after air, you get fire, and fire is related to the eyes. So you can see. You can see forms. So you have form, fire, and the eyes. And then after fire, you get water. Water is related to taste and to the tongue. And then after that, you have earth. Earth, all the elements are there. Earth is related to smell and aroma. So that together is 15 elements. So you have the five main elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And they're connected to the five senses. I just explained it. So the earth is related to smell, the water is related to taste, fire related to the eyes, the air related to the skin, and the ether related to the ears. And so you have then, like I said, you have smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. So that is 15. And then you have the three elements, that is 18. And then you have the, that is not so well known, as the working senses. It's the legs, the arms, the anus, the genitals, and the speech. So that is 23. And then the 24th element is sometimes called the pradhan, or the unmanifested modes of material nature. So that is like 24. So that is called Sankhya. And Kapila's mother, Devahuti, she meditated on these different elements. So she started to go from earth to water, to fire, to air, to ether, mind, and her whole body just melted. Because she realized this completely, how these elements work, and that she was not a body. So that is Sankhya philosophy. That is real Sankhya. Now, if you study that next purport, then the generally Sankhya is called the Mayavadis. The Mayavadi means who think everything is Maya. Maya literally means that which is not. Because actually, like I explained, everything is Krishna's energy. The spiritual world, everybody is serving Krishna. But because we are independent, this is the amazing thing of Krishna, that he can make, he's unlimited. So he wants to unlimitedly enjoy. So in order for him to be unlimited, he also created limited, that is us. So we are limited, we are very tiny, small, but still we have very limited independence. So that is the amazing thing about Krishna, that he made us independent. We have free will. We can choose. So we choose to go away from Krishna. And that's why he created this material world. Basically, this material world is created by our desire. Like the prison house. Of course, the government makes the prison house, but it's not necessary if there's no criminals. Of course, there's always criminals. So, but that is the material world. The material world means criminals. That is us. It means that we are... we don't want to serve Krishna, and that is our conditioning. that we want to serve ourselves, we want to serve our senses, our mind, and if you get more intelligence, you serve your intelligence, serve your ego. But ultimately, we have to serve the superego, Lord Krishna. So, Maya means that which is not. And like I said, everything is Krishna's energy. And it is just in our mind, basically, that we separate ourselves from Krishna. We can realize it by studying, by chanting. You can realize that actually I am Krishna's servant. But now we're thinking I'm not Krishna's servant. But there is nothing outside of Krishna. So the Mayavadis, they think that everything is Maya. Everything is basically material. And now here's where it gets tricky. And this is where why we are always very against Mayavadis. Because we trying to be devotees of Krishna. And the Mayavadis, they say that Krishna is material. As very clearly explained by Krishna himself, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. That when I come, my janma and my karma is divyam. It is spiritual. But the Mayavadis, they say, no, it's also Maya. Krishna's body is part of the material energy. So they're denying Krishna's personality. Because his whole body is spiritual, like our soul is spiritual. So Krishna's whole body is spiritual. Our body is made of blood, bones, it's a machine. But Krishna's body is not like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body is not like that. It's completely spiritual. So that is where the problem is with the Mayavadis, that they say that Krishna's body is material. And here Prabhupada says that they study this Vedanta. And I explained it a little bit, like you study the different elements, and sometimes Prabhupada explains neti, it's not this, the spiritual truth is not that, it's not. And gradually they come to the conclusion, and Prabhupada says, after many, many births, they come to Krishna consciousness. Generally what we see with these Mayavadi sannyasis is that they fall down from the path of self-realization. That's what Prabhupada says here in the sixth verse. And they again enter into material activities of philanthropic and altruistic nature. In other words, they start opening hospitals or foster homes and like that. And this is all material. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's material. It's that simple. It sounds a little bit strange. But Krishna is just a name. It's a Sanskrit word. It means all attractive. So it doesn't matter if you are a Muslim or a Christian or Jewish. If you're connected with God, it's spiritual. But of course we find that generally, they are not so much connecting things with God. Because like I said in the beginning, many of them, they eat meat and they use intoxication. You can't really follow spiritual life. But if you look at their saints, some of the Christian saints, generally, they didn't eat meat. Like Jesus, as far as we know, he didn't eat meat. And if he did, it was just once or twice. It wasn't that he was, all the time was they were roasting pigs and they're having parties with wine. They're very austere. Also, Muhammad, he was meditating. He was eating one date a day. So all these saints, you can see they are very, very austere and they're very, very saintly. But we have to follow in their footsteps. And then we can call ourselves also God conscious or Krishna conscious. Yeah, I don't know. It's all a little bit vague as far as I'm concerned. And of course, when Prabhupada was asked, he said Jesus Christ can eat the whole universe. He said, can you get on the cross? Because we always want to imitate the eating of the meat, but we don't want to imitate the suffering for all the people's sins. So we always want to take the negative. We never want to take the positive. So we should be very careful in criticizing pure devotees. Maybe he ate meat, maybe not, but it's not really for us to judge. We have to look what he said. What he said was, you don't kill. It's very clearly, the Ten Commandments are very, very clear. And it's everywhere the same. In every religion you have marriage. Marriage means restricted sex life. In every religion there's restriction on eating of meat. The Muslims, they're not allowed to eat pig meat. The Jews are not allowed to eat certain meats. The Christians are also not to just, they're not allowed to just kill. You can only kill animals if it's necessary. So every religion, and the Buddhists, they don't eat meat at all. I mean, there's different sects, but generally they don't eat meat. So they all have restrictions like that. So it's very clear what God wants, you know. He doesn't want us to eat meat. It's not an absolute rule, but it's just very violent to satisfy your tongue by killing another being. I mean, of course, plants is also killing, but with the plants, the difference is that we don't kill unnecessarily, and we offer it to Lord Krishna. It was explained yesterday by Jamasthami Patram Puspam Phalam Toyam. You can offer to me a leaf or a fruit. So Krishna specifically asks for these things. He doesn't say meat. So you can offer these things and then they become spiritualized. And in fact, the tomato or the apple makes actually spiritual advancement. The tree that was growing the apple makes spiritual advancement if you offer that, because it gets reconnected to Krishna. Yeah, so this Sankhya philosophy is all very complicated. And like I said, in the sixth verse, Prabhupada specifically mentions the Mayavadis. I explained a little bit about the real Sankhya philosophy, but it's also very tedious. I mean, I don't see any of us meditating near the Ganga and just disintegrating our body, you know, one element after the other. It's going to be very difficult. So what we do is we chant Hare Krishna and we try to reconnect with Krishna. Like here we have Radha Gopinath, and in the beginning you might think it's just a statue. And in one sense it is just a statue, but in another sense it's not. Because by the love of the devotee, Krishna actually appears in the deity and he becomes actually the deity. So the deity is none different from Krishna. And like with everything, it's the example is given of an iron rod. If you put it in the fire long enough and you take it out, it's like fire. If you put the iron rod on the harmonium would start to burn. So that is what we have to become. We have to put ourselves in the fire of Krishna consciousness, get up early, live a pure life, try to come to the mode of goodness. There's very specific rules, specifically mentioned in the 18th chapter, what the mode of goodness is. And then, chant Hare Krishna and remain in the fire of Krishna consciousness. And then Lord Krishna says, the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, I will give the intelligence from within. So it's not so necessary to study everything. I mean, it's a whole process. You do have to study. And like I said in the beginning, Chachinandan Swami will be coming. So he is a spiritual master. He is authorized by the governing body committee, the ruling organ that Prabhupada institutionalized in ISKCON in the 1970s. And they are governing this movement. And they authorize certain disciples of Srila Prabhupada, also now disciples of disciples, to initiate disciples, to initiate students into the Brahma Matva Gaudiya Sampradaya, into the Sampradaya, into the disciplic succession. So, that is also part of the process, that you take initiation. Initiation means beginning. And then you'll see that the chanting will become more powerful. And then, you have to go through the stage called Anartha Nivritti. Means you have to give up all unwanted habits. And it in the beginning, it's like those four principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. But then there is more subtle, like no envy, no anger. Those things also have to be given up. Of course, you can also, to some extent, engage them in Krishna's service. Like you can get angry Like I said in the beginning, we sometimes get angry at Mayavadis because they're blaspheming Lord Krishna. So in order to defend Lord Krishna or to defend other devotees, we can use anger. But of course, we always have to be careful that it's favorable and that it's not sense gratification. That we become disturbed and we want to, you know, we should always be very conscious of, are we actually serving Krishna or am I serving my own sense gratification? Anyway, I said a lot of things. It's time. So I'm sorry there's no room for questions. Maybe next time. So thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.